بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, from the beginning of the month of Ramadan we have been hearing لعلكم تتقون لعلكم تتقون. The objective, the maqsood, the goal behind fasting in the month of Ramadan is for a person to develop within his life taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which simply means that whatever position I am in my life right now, whatever I am doing, wherever I am, I understand what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me. What does Allah want from me? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to abstain from? And how does Allah want me to conduct myself? And this command of taqwa we find is mentioned throughout the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ. Various different verses of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about taqwa, developing taqwa. Here in Surah Muhammad, in the 26th juz which we heard last night, Allah now gives us a small description of the benefit and the reward of taqwa. What will Allah give us if we will develop this Allah consciousness within our heart, within our life? Allah says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. مَثَل, one description, a small description of that jannat which the people of taqwa have been promised, which has been reserved for them in the hereafter. فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ. Allah says there will be rivers of water whose taste, color and smell will not change. This is in comparison to the water of dunya. We know that if some dirt or some contaminant gets into the water, then the taste changes, the color changes, the smell changes. As we had seen recently, after the floods there were water cuts. And then once the water was restored, people would send out messages that don't drink the tap water because there's some bacteria inside, or the color is different. So the water of the gardens of Jannah, غَيْرِ آسِن. It will not change color, it will not change taste, it will not change in smell. It will be pure and clean water. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. Water, we understand, in the context of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the deserts of Arabia, this was their drink of choice. But the second drink that they would prefer was milk. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, majority of them were farmers, they had cattle, they had livestock. So in comparison to the milk of dunya, Allah says, the milk of Jannah, لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُ. This milk will never go bad, it will never turn sour. The milk of dunya, we know, a few hours of load shedding. Even if the milk is in the fridge, but it goes bad, person has to go and buy fresh milk again. And here Allah says, these rivers of milk in Jannah, لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُ. The taste will not change, it won't go bad, it won't turn sour. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرِ اللَّذَّةِ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Third comparison Allah gives, rivers of wine, unlike the wine of dunya, people drink it for the feeling or for the relaxation that it gives them thereafter, but nobody drinks it for the taste. So it has a bitter taste. Here Allah says the rivers of wine in Jannah will be لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ, not just palatable but sweet, enjoyable for those who will drink. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Fourth comparison, and rivers of clarified honey. In other words, honey with no contaminants, no dirt, pure sweet honey. Unlike the honey of dunya, it has to go through some process before it can come to you. Here the honey will be pure, sweet, and ready for you to consume. Thereafter Allah says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. This is the fifth comparison to dunya, that in the gardens of Jannah, they will have every type of fruit in every season. Unlike in dunya, we have fruit that are seasonal. A person today is feeling for lychees, you have to wait a few months before it comes. Person has mangoes, and then he says, I want some more. Sorry, the season has ended. You'll have to wait till next year, this time, then you can get the mangoes. But here Allah says, every fruit at every time, every season will be available to them. And then finally, to top it all, Allah says, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. In this dunya, somebody gives you so much of ihsan, so much of kindness, he spreads out so much of bounties and food and drink for you, then chances are that he will also have some ill feelings towards you. Example, a person, a guest comes unannounced and he says, I'm staying at your home for a few days. Now, out of shame, a person will host him, but I can't chase him away, I can't shut the door in his face. And you may even prepare meals for him, you may go out of your way to serve him, but there'll be some ill feeling that I wish this person can leave. He's now inconveniencing me. Allah says, despite all the bounties, all of this that I will give to you, the milk and the water and the honey and the fruit, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, your conscience doesn't have to trouble you. Allah is happy with you. You will get the forgiveness of your Rabb, the pleasure of your Rabb. Allah will have no ill feelings towards you. This is the cherry on the top, the bounties of Jannah. Thereafter Allah says, can a person who will receive these bounties and these favors of Allah, can he be kaman huwa khalidun finnar, like that person whose entire existence will come out in the fire of Jahannam. Wasuqu ma'an hamima, and if he wants something to drink, something to quench his thirst, then he will be given boiling water. فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ, water that is so hot that it will split and burst through the intestines. We know in this world, a person takes a sip of tea and it's still too hot, how his tongue burns. He'll feel the effect for the next few days. Just that one sip that he took onto his tongue. Here the people of Jahannam, Allah protect, Allah save all of us. But because of the extreme thirst, they will be forced not just to taste, but to drink this water. It will then go down and completely burst through the intestines. So this is the example of the description of the people of Jannah. And before this, Allah then says, or Allah explains, that أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ. You can never compare the person who has taqwa, who has the consciousness of Allah, who is following a clear path of guidance from his Rabb. You can never compare him to that person who زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ. He has got no consciousness of Allah. His evil actions have been made fair-seeming to him. In other words, he sees poison to be medicine. The commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah wants him to do, that he sees to be detrimental to his life in this world. And what Allah asks him to abstain from, Allah tells him to stay away from those things, then he sees that to be something that is going to give him progress, going to give him success in this world. Like the example is given of that person who left home in the morning on his way to work. So he gets onto the highway, and as he is driving along, he sees a car coming in the opposite direction, in his lane. So he flashes his lights at the person. And then after a few hundred meters, he sees another vehicle coming, again in his lane, coming towards him. He flashes his lights, he presses his hooter. And a few hundred meters again, he sees a few more vehicles coming. So he turns on the radio and he hears the presenter saying that motorists are advised to watch out because there is some person who is driving on the oncoming. He's driving in the wrong direction. So he also dials the hotline, he phones, and he gets through to the presenter and he says, please, I wish to inform you, there's not just one person, but multiple people driving in the wrong direction. Not realizing that he's the one people are, that the presenter is cautioning about. He's the one driving in the wrong direction. But he's so confused that he thinks he is on haq, he is following the correct path, and everybody else is wrong. So Allah says, this is the plot of shaitan, كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ. Shaitan will do this to a person's brains, to his mind. He'll make the evil action seem good. That I am okay. I'm coming to the masjid, I'm reading my salah here and there, and I'm doing whatever I want to in my life, but I'm okay, my iman is intact. And inshallah, I'll leave this world with iman. Not knowing what tabau ahwa'ahum, he's only following his desires, and he is a person who is going to, Allah forbid, but he's going to end up in the fire of Jahannam. So this is a brief description that Allah has given of the people of Jannah, the people of taqwa, what reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep for them. And thereafter, as we heard in Surah Ar-Rahman today, Allah gives a detailed description of the gardens of Jannah. Just as we know in this world, when it comes to a flight, a person takes, one is business class and then you have first class. So here also Allah says in Jannah also there will be business class and there will be first class. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. The highest level, the first class Jannah, Allah says, for that person who fears standing before his Rabb. He has that consciousness again, taqwa. He has consciousness. He is aware that I'm going to have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. So Allah says for him will be two jannats. Mufassireen, there's two different views with regard to this. One is those mufassireen who say jannatan doesn't necessarily mean two. But here Allah is showing that multiple bounties, not just one. It's not limited, but unlimited Allah will give him in the hereafter. Multiple bounties in the gardens of Jannah. And then one is the tafsir given by Alama Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullah. And he says that this is the explanation or the tafsir given by Sufiya, those who had a strong ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would explain that that person who fears standing before his Rabb, he will have jannatan, two jannats. So the explanation, the tafsir they would give is jannatun fid dunya. One jannat he will enjoy in this dunya. How? Bi huduril mawla, that he will be living in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every step of his life, Allah will guide him. Like the hadith mentions, that person who will build his ta'alluq with Allah, then Allah says, I become his eyes by which he sees. I become his ears by which he hears. I become his feet by which he walks. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide this person every step of his way in this worldly life. وَجَنَّةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِلِقَاءِ الْمَوْلَىٰ. And the second jannat he'll get in the hereafter when he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah speaks about this jannat, ذَوَاتَ أَفْنَان, having many trees, many branches. This signifies that there will be a lot of shade. And of course, if there are a lot of trees, it means that the floor space of the jannah will also be very large. فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ, Allah says there will be springs that are flowing, springs of clear and pure water. فِيهِمَا مِن كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانِ, every type of fruit that a person knew in this dunya, there will be two, or there will be a pair of this fruit. Ulama Mufassirin give the tafsir of this, the explanation of this, that one is the fruit that you knew in this world. Take for example an orange. A person knows an orange in this world, so he will get that same orange in Jannah. And then the namesake of it, also called an orange, but it will be a completely different fruit, something he has never experienced before. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ, Allah speaks about the condition of these people, that they will be reclining on couches whose inner lining is made of silk. Why inner lining? The inner portion of the couch is something that nobody sees. It doesn't really matter what material is used to cover the inside. Here Allah says the inner lining is made of silk. We can imagine what the outer lining will be, what the cover will be of these couches. وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ, and then a person is lying down on his bed, on his couch, like in this world. If a person is relaxing and he wishes to have something to eat or something to drink, he has to wake up and get it. Here Allah says, the fruit of these gardens will be at reach, will be within reach. He can just lift his hand up and pluck those fruit and consume. He doesn't have to wake up from the couch that he is reclining on. فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ, thereafter Allah speaks about the bounties of the woman of Jannah. فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ, those women who will restrain their gazes. What do we mean by restrain their gazes? Mufassirin say that in this world a man has a lot of protection, that my wife must not look at anybody besides me. Similarly, the woman have a lot of protection, my husband's eyes must be only for me. Here, one of the qualities of these women of Jannah is that their gazes and their glances will only be for their husbands. They are loyal, they have the quality of loyalty. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ, they have not experienced any relationship with any human nor any jinn before their husbands of Jannah. كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ, Allah describes their beauty like pearls and rubies. And thereafter Allah says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, is the reward for ihsan anything but ihsan? In other words, this person in this worldly life, he had the quality, the sifat of ihsan. What is ihsan? We hear in hadith of Jibreel, famously we hear this hadith, where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu, very well dressed and very neatly dressed. He sits before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he poses a few questions to him. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are surprised that who is this person who has come? We don't recognize him. He doesn't seem to be one of those who are living in Madinah Munawwara. At the same time, لا يرى عليه أثر السفر, it doesn't seem to be that he is an outsider. His clothing is very neat. His hair is also neat and clean. Nevertheless, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam poses different questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the questions he asks is, مَلْ إِحْسَانِ, what is إِحْسَان? The answer is, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds that ihsan means a person reaches this stage that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though he can see Allah. And when a person realizes that I can't see Allah, of course, in this worldly life, then this much he realizes, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, that Allah is watching me. Allah can see me. So he has this consciousness, this level of understanding that whatever I am doing, wherever I am, whatever situation I may be in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. This is called sifatul ihsan. So Allah says, is the reward for ihsan anything but ihsan? That you had this quality in your worldly life, now I will shower my kindness and my bounties upon you. So this is the detailed description of the gardens of Jannah. Yet, still we find the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي الصَّالِحِينَ, I have prepared for my righteous slaves, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, such a garden which no eyes have seen, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, no ears have heard of, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, no heart or mind has ever fathomed or thought of. We've discussed this before. The ulama explained the apparent contradiction, that one is all the description of Jannah that we have just heard and discussed, the gardens and the rivers and the hoor and the fruit. Detailed description is given. Yet in this hadith Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no mind has ever thought of the bounties of Jannah. As we were describing just now all the bounties of Jannah, some picture would have come into our minds. But here Allah is saying, no mind has thought of it. So ulama explain that the description given in these verses is just a percentage, just a fraction of the bounties of Jannah. The true bounties and blessings of Jannah, no mind ever, that we don't have the capacity, the ability to think of the bounties and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us. Thereafter in Surah Al-Hujurat, which is a Madani surah, and we find that when it came to those surahs that were revealed in Medina Munawwara, then a lot of etiquette, adab, laws would come down. In the surahs that were revealed in Makkah, Mukarramah generally were to build the iman, the yaqeen, the conviction of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So here in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about various etiquettes, adab, and the way a person should conduct himself, especially when interacting with others. First, Allah begins by addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that when you come into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there are certain etiquettes and adab that you need to follow. And we can apply this in our times as well, when we come into the presence of some senior person, whether it be our parents, our grandparents, or some senior alim, then these etiquettes should be followed. The first is, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Allah says, O those who have iman, do not put forth your opinion before the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allow him to speak and mention his suggestion first. If there is some discussion, something that needs to be decided, then allow the Messenger of Allah to give his suggestion or his opinion first. If he asks you and requests your opinion, then you are free to mention what you feel is correct. But etiquette, adab, respect dictates that you allow him to speak. He is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, a person is discussing something with his parents, with his elders, his seniors, then we should wait for their counsel, their mashwara, their guidance. And thereafter, if they ask us, what do you feel? How should we approach this? And then we are free to give our opinion. The second etiquette that Allah speaks about, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. All those who have iman, when you are asked for your opinion, the Nabi of Allah asks you, what is your suggestion? Then do not raise your voices above his voice. What would happen? Many a time Sahaba would be seated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be discussing something with them. Somebody would mention something, somebody else would say something, and the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be concealed. People would not be able to hear what he is saying. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching Sahaba that if you wish to speak in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then speak in a hushed tone, in a hushed voice, so that you do not drown out the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Again, taqwa is mentioned, that those who will speak in silent or in hushed voices when they are in the presence of the Nabi of Allah, then this is a sign that Allah has opened up their hearts and they have taqwa within their hearts. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةُ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And they will secure forgiveness and a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Allah then speaks about a very important etiquette, something which we can relate to in today's time, and that is to verify information. Especially before a person forwards or spreads this information, there is an incident behind this. There was a Sahabi by the name of Harith bin Dirar. And this particular person lived very far away from Medina Munawwara. So he had come to Medina Munawwara, he accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the pledges that he made was that I will collect the zakat of my people each year. And, O Nabi of Allah, you send a zakat collector to my town. And they had agreed on a certain date, time and place. And I will collect the zakat of my people and we will hand it over to the zakat collector. And he can bring it back to Medina Munawwara. So he made this agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He leaves Medina Munawwara and he goes back to his town. When the appointed date and time had come, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a person by the name of Walid bin Uqba. He is appointed as the zakat collector. And he is told that you go and you meet Harith bin Dirar and you collect the zakat of his people. When Walid bin Uqba reaches or is close to the meeting place, he sees that a large group of people from the town are now approaching and coming towards him. So in his mind, he thinks that these people were my enemies before Islam. And perhaps they have heard that I am the zakat collector. So they are coming out to wage war with me. And perhaps they are going to harm me. So he quickly turns around and he retreats and comes back to Medina Munawwara. When he reaches Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions him that, where is the zakat? that I sent you to collect from these people. He replies, O Nabi of Allah, I went to the appointed place. Harith bin Dirar met me. And of course he's under pressure. So he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Harith bin Dirar met me and he has told me that they are not going to pay their zakat. They are not accepting this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes extremely upset that this sahabi had made a pledge to me and now he is refusing to give the zakat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepares an army. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is appointed as the commander of this army. And they are told that go to the town of Harith bin Dirar and wage war against them. Because now they have renounced Islam by refusing to hand over their zakat. Nevertheless, in the interim what has happened, Harith bin Dirar sees that the zakat collector has not come. He has that consciousness, that worry, that I need to give the zakat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he prepares a group of people and they set off coming to Madinah Munawwara. It so happens that the two groups meet. The army of Khalid bin Walid and the group of Harith bin Dirar, they meet one another close to Medina. Khalid bin Walid says to Harith bin Dirar, we have been sent to fight you because we have heard that you don't want to give your zakat. Harith bin Dirar takes a qasam in the name of Allah that this is not the case. He thereafter comes to Medina and he presents the entire case to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what had happened. I came to this appointed, at the appointed time, I came to this place, your zakat collector did not come. And therefore we prepared our group and we have come, here is our zakat. Allah then reveals these verses, rebuking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that why did you accept the information or the story of Walid bin Uqba? You should have verified that information first, and you should not have taken this step to prepare an army and go and wage war against Harith bin Dirar, because this information was not verified. And now it transpires that the story was untrue, and he actually comes and he pays his zakat. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا So Allah says, O those who have iman, if a person who is untrustworthy brings some information to you. Here one point that Mufassirin mentioned is the word in is used. The word in Arabic means if. Normally, when we speak about a situation that is the norm, then we would use the word if. When a person comes and brings information to you. And here Allah says, if an untrustworthy person brings information to you, Mufassirin say this tells us that the norm is not to accept information from a fasiq. The norm is that our sources of information should be authentic. But if it so happens that an untrustworthy person comes to you and he conveys some information, some news to you, فَتَبَيَّنُوا Then Allah says, make sure you verify this news. أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَ Otherwise you may cause harm to somebody unknowingly, like in this case. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ And then you will have deep regret over what you have done. Once the dust settles and you realize your error, you realize that this news was untrue, then you yourself will become deeply regretful. And this we found in recent times, especially with COVID, people were in hospital. There were many incidents. One incident which we know of, a person was in hospital, he was unwell, and the message goes around that he has passed away. The message now comes to his wife, his children. They are at home, they're reading this message. That our father has left this world, they start reading their quls for him, they start making preparations for his burial, and then they receive a phone call from the man himself, I am still alive in hospital. So this is all because of not verifying information. How many times we find on social media, messages are sent, and we just press the forward button, it goes to 500 contacts, and sometimes we don't even read what's in that message. So here this is an injunction of Quran, that whenever any information comes to you, regardless of who says it to you, yes, unless you really trust the person, he's somebody who doesn't speak lies and you know that his source is also authentic, but otherwise you should verify, as they say, verify before you amplify. This will save a person from a great amount of regret in this world. Various other etiquettes are mentioned, just one more and we'll terminate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, O those who have iman, no person should mock or ridicule any other person. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ Perhaps the person who is being mocked at is better than you. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٌ Nor should any woman ridicule and mock another woman. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ Because perhaps she is better than you. On one occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha is in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the discussion is about Ummu Salama, one of the other Azwaji Mutahharat. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha was known for being short in stature. So Aisha radiallahu anha passes a comment that innaha qasira, O Nabi of Allah, this wife of yours She is short. And she says it in such a way that is meant to mock and ridicule Umm Salama radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, O Aisha, you have uttered such a statement that if the statement had to be mixed with the water of the oceans of the world, then the entire oceans of the world would have become bitter. Because of the intent behind your statement, that you want to run somebody down, you want to put them down, you want to mock and ridicule them for something that is not within their control. She is not in control of her height. Similarly, we find people are not in control of their appearance, of certain mannerisms or characteristics that they have within themselves. So here Allah is teaching us that don't mock and ridicule somebody else because you don't know perhaps he or she is better than you. Huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. The only criterion for judging a person in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa. And you don't know the level of that person's taqwa. You don't know the level of his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us correct understanding. We'll just read one hadith from this kitab inshallah. Two nights ago we had discussed what happens when a person leaves this world. The angel of death appears, as the Shaykh Zakariya Saab rahmatullah alayhi had mentioned, that just as in this world when there is a delegation that comes from a foreign country and they are arriving at our airport, then you'll find the red carpet is laid out for them. At times the army, the soldiers are made to stand on either side, and that important person now is allowed to walk through and he is welcomed and received in this way. In the same way, when a VIP now reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who's a VIP in the eyes of Allah, then this, in a similar way, this istiqbal and welcoming will be offered to him. And as we discussed also, that the angels will bring perfume from Jannah, they will perfume his body, they will give him ghusl in the water of Jannah, and they will shroud him in the shroud of Jannah. And thereafter the soul will ascend, it will get recorded either in Illiyin, where the pious souls are recorded, or in Sijjin, where the souls of the disbelievers and impious are recorded. And thereafter the soul is returned to the body, and questioning then takes place. In today's hadith, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the soul of a believer is taken, Allah's merciful servants go forward to receive him, just as a bringer of good news is received in this world. So the angels receive him. Then some of them say, give him a chance to get back his breath, because he was in a severe pain. In other words, the entire moat and his soul coming out. So give him a chance to just relax. They then start asking him. So now the people who have already left this world, and especially his family members, they start asking him, how is such and such person? What happened to such and such woman? Did she get married? So the person will ask, person has passed away, and now somebody else from his family comes. So he'll ask him, did my wife marry somebody else after me? Or the woman will ask, did my husband get married after me? What happened to my children, my grandchildren? What has happened to them? What are they doing in the life of this world? Then they will ask him about a person who passed away before him. They'll ask about somebody who has passed away before him. So the people of the hereafter have received no information regarding this person, yet he has passed away a long time ago. So he will explain that this person passed away before me and you should have already met him. So they will respond that to Allah we belong and to him is our return. He has been taken to his abode in Jahannam. That is why we haven't met him. Although he may have been some friend, some family member, but you are the first family member that we are meeting. Although you say he has left this world before you, so he is possibly gone to his abode in the fire of Jahannam. It is an evil place to go and a bad place to live in. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then added, your actions are presented to your families and relatives who are already gone to the hereafter. While a person is in this world, when and how this happens, that is in the knowledge of Allah. But your actions are presented to them. If it was a good action, they rejoice and express their happiness. And they say, oh Allah, this is through your grace and mercy. Complete your favor on him and let him die on it. Like that incident was mentioned. This person, young boy who had lost his mother at a young stage in his life. And it was his habit that he would go to the graveyard every week and he would recite for her and send the reward to her. So one night he sees his mother in the dream and she says to him, oh my son, just do me a favor when you come to meet me this Friday, when you come to the graveyard, then as you're entering, I want you to pause your recitation for a short moment. Don't recite anything, and only after you come to my grave, then start reciting. So he asks his mother, what is the reason for this? So she says that every week, the strength and the power of your amal that you are doing in this worldly life and that which you are sending towards me is so overwhelming that there is a great amount of noor that covers your face. And when you come to see me, I can't see your face because the noor is covering it. And my friends in this graveyard also wish to see who is this person full of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is coming to visit you. So I want them to get a glimpse of your face just for a few moments. So you terminate your recitation, that nur will go away or it will lighten. They'll be able to look at your face and thereafter you can start reciting once again. So this is the reality, the world of the barzakh, of the hereafter, when it comes to life in the grave, for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. وَلَا تَقُولُ as we hear in Quran, that those who have passed away in the path of Allah, those who have been martyred in the path of Allah, they are alive in their qubur. Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam are alive in their graves. Likewise, the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to an extent, of course, the life in the qabr is different to the life of this world. We cannot equate the two, but to an extent, they are also given life in the grave, and they are also getting a report of our actions. Those who have left this world, they know what we are doing. My son is doing this, my grandson is doing this, and this is what they are preparing for their akhirat. According to some ahadith, they address the person. Although we can't hear it, they address the person that if only you know what is on this side, then you won't waste your time laughing and joking, but you'll be crying. Because you know what is going to happen. We have already reached here, you are still going to come. So you better prepare for your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding, and allow us to prepare for our akhirat. Make a short dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, wa laka shukru kulluhu. لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا وقرارنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا او ماي الله موست كريم الله موست لافينج الله موست مرسيفول الله او ماي الله grant us the tawfiq and the ability to prepare for our meeting with you. O may Allah, we have read and heard about taqwa, about developing the consciousness of you. O may Allah, grant us your taqwa and your consciousness. O may Allah, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, O may Allah, let us have your commands in front of us. O may Allah, make us those who are aware of our final abode. O may Allah, don't let the dunya deceive us. O may Allah. Oh my Allah, make us abna'ul akhirat, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us from those who your angels will receive with marhaba and salam when we leave this world, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, when we reach our grave, expand it for us as far as the eyes can see, oh my Allah. Make the questioning of the qabr easy, oh my Rahim Kareem Allah. Oh my Allah, don't let our evil deeds come to bite us in our grave, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, before that, give us the ability and the chance to make tawbah and nasuha, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, when the angel of death comes, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us, oh my Allah. Give us the chance to make tawbah and to cleanse our slate before you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, these last few days of the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, grant us the ability to secure our forgiveness from you, my Allah. Oh my Allah, secure our freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Oh my Allah, grant us entry into Jannah without any hisab, oh my Allah. If we will stand before you for hisab, Ya Allah, we won't be able to answer for a single action of ours, my Allah. Oh my Allah, our actions are not worthy of being presented in your court, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, through your quality of being shakur, you accept it from us, my Allah. Give us the full reward and double the reward, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you dearly love to forgive. Ya Allah, it is your hobby and your passion to forgive, my Allah. Innaka afuwun. Oh my Allah, tuhibbul afwa. Fa'fu anna ya kareem. Oh my Allah, forgive us completely. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our children, our spouses, our progeny till the day of qiyamah, our family, our friends, the musallis of this masjid, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep us with afiyat, with sihat, with salamat. Take us in a condition of iman, condition that you are pleased with us. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.